You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to, I am supposed to preach, aren't I? Turn to Hebrews 1. We've been teaching a series for some time now on who is this Jesus? Good question, amen? And the world, of course, has their ideas of who Jesus is, and sometimes we have our ideas of who Jesus is, and bottom line, Jesus is who Jesus says he is. And it would be in our best interest to look into the Word of God, find out what God says, and let him speak for himself on this matter, amen? Because he has something to say. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1. And y'all, I'm a little stuffed up, but I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I feel great. Hallelujah. Look out, devil. Don't pay attention to that. You know, they're talking about this flu going around, and, you know, and I got the flu and had fever for 4 or 5 days, and they say it takes months to get over it, and so on. You just get up and go, amen? Get up and do it, and that's what we're doing. I'll try not to make you suffer through all this. We got some water? I'm going to need a bottle of water. Good. Got a bottle of water. Who is this Jesus? You know what? He's not a Moses. He's not a Muhammad. He's not a Buddha. We've talked about that extensively and in great detail. He's more than just a man. He's not just a man. He is a man, but he's not just a man. He's also God, and he is the creator, the maker of all that. That was the maker in the manger. That was the creator in the crib. And when Jesus visited us, God visited us. God became man. So, you know, he's in a totally different category. We hear a lot about different religions and different beliefs, and, you know, it has to do with the way you were raised or where you were raised. And, you know, if you were raised in the Middle East over there, you might be a Muslim, or you might be a Jew, or if you're raised in Asia, you might be a Buddhist. But see, truth's not dependent on geography or locale. Truth is truth. Did you know 1 and 1 equals 2 no matter where you're from? You ever notice that? In fact, you can go over to China, it's still 1 and 1 equals 2. Still equals 2. And, you know, 5 times 2 equals 10 and so on and so forth. And they got all of our money over there. But anyway, that's truth. Truth is not subjective. You know, when you hear the word subjective, that means it's subject to you or to me. Tastes are like that. Tastes are subjective. You know, some people like banana pudding. Some people don't. I like banana pudding. I don't know why anybody wouldn't like banana pudding. I don't know why that's subjective. I think there's something wrong with you if you don't like banana pudding. But, I mean, that is subjective. And then music, you know, taste and colors and so on. People have favorite colors. Some people have a type of music they listen to, those genres of music, you know. That's subjective to you. But truth's not that way. Truth's not subjective. It's objective. In other words, there is an object of truth that we're all looking to. You can go to you can add 1 and 1 and equals 2. That's objective. You can look at 2 apples. You know the story. You put an apple here, an apple here, you put them together, you got 2 apples. You know, that's objective. We can look to that. And truth is objective. We have an object to look at, God's Word. In my case, an iPad. You might have a Bible or a book or whatever. But you can look to it, and that's how we know what truth is. Truth is not what you think. It's not what I think. It's not subjective, but it's objective. And you say, what's the object? Well, ultimately, the object is Jesus. He's the object of truth. And the Bible is about him. We say the Bible is our source of truth, true, but the Bible points to Jesus, and Jesus ultimately is the object of our truth. So Jesus is not a truth. Jesus is the truth. Does that make sense? And Jesus didn't bring us a message like, say, Muhammad or Buddha or someone. Jesus is the message. Now, that's different than all other religions. And so you have to make that distinction. You can't say, well, you know, you're a Muslim, I'm a Christian, or you're a Buddhist, and, you know, I'm a Christian, and, hey, you know, whatever. Whatever floats your boat, you know. If you believe it, that's fine. As long as you believe it, faith, just whatever you believe. No, faith's not a whatever. Faith is an object. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13, he said, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So he was pinning it. He says, this is what we believe. We believe what is written. According to what is written, I believe. Therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. So there's an object. Amen? And then ultimately, if you get down to it, and I mentioned this already, Jesus is the object. He's who the whole Bible's about. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And if you don't get to Jesus, you still haven't got to the truth yet. You're still looking at the finger that's pointing, but you're not looking at what the finger's pointing to. And religion is like that. Religion is a pointer. That's what was wrong with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they all had this religion that all was pointing to a Messiah. It was all the feasts were pointing to a lamb, to the Lamb of God. The water that came out of the rock was pointing to the water of life. The manna that came out of heaven was pointing to the bread of life. Are you with me? Everything was pointing to something. But see, they couldn't get past the finger. It's kind of like a dog. You know, you tell a dog, you point, and a dog comes up and licks your finger. You ever notice that? Unless you train them real well. You can get dogs trained, retrieve. I'd love to watch dogs retrieve. Man, I'm telling you, I love to see them work. You know, a dog will get out there in the water trying to find a duck, and the owner can be on the bank and just go like this, and the dog will look back and see that hand, and it'll start going that way. I mean, you can train a dog to do that. And it's amazing to watch a dog work with its owner when they're well trained. But most dogs, my dogs, don't do that. Are you with me? My dogs come running up and lick my finger. They don't understand pointing. That's what happened to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. When Jesus showed up, they would not look to what all those feasts and everything was pointing to. They kept holding on to the pointer. They wouldn't give up the feast. They wouldn't give up the religion. That's something they could grab and hold on to, but they didn't understand all that was pointing to him, and he was what the whole Bible was about, and he was what all the feasts were about. He was that water. He was that manna that came out of heaven. Are you with me? He was the Lamb of God. John got it. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He got it. Amen? We're not Bible worshipers. We don't worship the Bible. The Bible tells us about Jesus. We go to Jesus. The Bible is our map. It's our guide. It's not our God. It's our standard, yes. It defines doctrine for no question. We find truth here in God's Word, but the ultimate goal of God's Word is to get us to Jesus. And if we don't get to Him, we just got another book. There's a lot of books out there on philosophy and religion and, you know, and all kinds of ways to live. There's a lot of good truths about living right in the Bible, and you could take those and live a pretty good life. But if you never get to who the Bible's teaching about or talking about, if you never get past the finger of the Bible and never get to Jesus, you will go to hell because you never got to the truth. And there are people that actually teach the Bible that don't have the truth, don't believe in the resurrection, don't believe in the virgin birth, don't believe in Jesus as we know Him. Experts on Scripture, they can tell you all the nuances of the fingernail on the end of the finger. Hello. They know what the finger looks like. But they forget it all points to something else. A shadow, a picture. But the reality is Jesus. He's a person, more than a doctrine, more than a teaching, more than a concept. And that's what the Scripture says about Him and what we find over and over and over. He's not a bringer of a message. He's not a prophet of a new religion. He's not another voice, another example, just another good teacher. Come on. Just another holy man. Oh, come on. Jesus is more than that. He's my Savior. He's your Savior. He paid the price for your sins and my sins. He was God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Something that never had been, never will be again. God became a man, dwelt among us. Woo! Hallelujah. This Jesus outshines them all. This Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. This Jesus is more than just another religious leader. It won't be Buddha sitting on a throne. And it won't be Muhammad calling you home. And it won't be Hare Krishna playing that trumpet tune. It'll be Jesus that comes to get us. Amen? It's Jesus that sits at the right hand of God. It's Jesus that paid the price for your sins. And you need to know Him. And I dare say everybody here does, but preaching to the choir here, and we don't even have one. But notice in Hebrews 1. Y'all got there? In Hebrews 1, I'm reading out the New King James Version. There's several great translations. And I encourage you, if you read the Bible often, which you should, you know, try different translations. Read. There's no holy translation. It's the Spirit The letter kills, the spirit gives life. Amen. I read lots of different translations. I'll read through the Bible in one translation, then grab another one, read it through another translation. And there's a lot of great ones. New Living Translation is a good one. I really like that one. That's a good one. New King James is good. Amplified's good. Rather long, rather verbose. But that's okay. It's loud. Amplified. But it says, God who at various times and in various the King James says sundry times and in divers manners. You know, and I kind of like this a little better. You know, we don't really talk in King James. I know I quote King James when I quote it because for so many years I read it. But it kind of gives the idea that we've got, you know, snorkels and divers manners. Y'all going to have to speed it up a little bit here, okay? You got to get these jokes a little quicker because God who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. He's given us an outline of the way God moved, the way God spoke under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And it says, at various times and in various ways, he spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, everybody say last days. Now that would be our days. I mean, whatever was last then, it's got to be laster now, right? We've got to be living in the last of the last here. He said in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. And that's a hard thing to translate even in the Greek, because really what it says, he's spoken to us in son. It doesn't even translate right, because it makes no sense. It's not like Jesus is a vehicle of God's message. Jesus is the message. He spoke through or by the prophets, but he's speaking in Jesus. Are you with me? Something I say often, and you've heard me say it over and over. Jesus did not bring us a message. A la contraire. I beg to differ. He did not bring us a message. Jesus is the message. Are you with me? We all know John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, if you just examine that, he didn't say, I bring you a way. He said, I am the way. Now, that just changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, Buddha never said that. Muhammad never said it. Moses never said it. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, none of them ever said that. No one ever is going to say, you say that, that's blasphemy. Or you tell, I'm not bringing a message. I am the message. That's got to be the height of arrogance, unless, in fact, you are the message. And he is, in fact, the message, amen, in truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth. He didn't say, I bring you a truth. He didn't say, I show you a truth. He didn't say, I teach you a truth. Here's a truth. See what you can do with it. No, he said, I am the truth. Now, these are the words of a madman, or he really is the truth. These aren't the words of a madman. His teachings they're not lunatics. Lunatic teaching. I mean, some of the greatest teaching we have about morality and forgiving and loving each other comes from Jesus. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:6-7. Amazing teaching. The whole world recognizes that. Even people don't believe in Jesus as the Christ or the Messiah. They follow his teachings, the golden rule, all those things. See, these are not the words of a madman. This was truly God. And said some things that no other religious leader would ever say. That's amazing to me. And yet we write him off as another teacher. No, he didn't leave us that option, okay? He didn't leave us that out. He is who he says he is, or he was a lunatic or a madman. And he's not a lunatic nor a madman. He is God. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the life. Didn't offer it. He said, I am the life. Woo. Are you with me? He did offer life, but life he offered was himself. And that's what you and I need more of. You say, what do I need? You need more of Jesus. That's all you need is more of Jesus. Paul said that I might know him more and more. The more you know him, the more you got it down. You got it. Need healing? You need to know this healer. You need peace? You need to know this peace giver. You need to prosper? You need to know this father that loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus. You need to know this Lord who is your shepherd that you shall not want. Hallelujah. You need to know his character and his nature and how much he wants to meet your need, and how much he wants to bless you, and how proud he is of you when you do well, and how he wants you to do well. Anybody got any kids that you want to do well? Yes. I'm always excited and proud for my children when they do well. I pray that they do well. I never pray if they go under. I never pray if they don't make it. They're my children. I want them to do better than I'm doing. Are you with me? That's my prayer. I'm so excited and so proud when they have accomplishments and we talk about it. Goodness gracious. Those are real things. Those are things that people talk about. They talk about each other and their children. Well, God's the same way. God loves his children. And he wants you to do well. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Hallelujah. He's good. The more you find out about him, the easier it is to believe him. Amen? If you know Jesus, you know he's a lover. If you know Jesus, you know he's a healer. If you know Jesus, you know he's a forgiver. He's the God of a million chances, not just one or two. So shake the dust off, get back up on your feet, and let's get back in the game. Amen? And it says here, he has in his last days, spoke to the prophets, but in his last days, he's spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Wow. This is definitely not a Buddha or a Muhammad or a Moses or Ezekiel or Jeremiah or no. No, through him he made the worlds. We're talking about the creator. Jesus was the creator of the world, the maker of all that is. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with him. Without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. All things are made by him. Wow. And goes on 14th verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what happened in that manger scene. God Almighty came down and visited us. He became a slug just like one of us. Are you out there? He became one of us. Why? Well, to meet our need, to pay the price for our sin, because that was the price. The price was our life, sinless life. We didn't have a sinless life. He came down sinlessly and paid the price without sin, died for us. He goes on and says this, in the last days he spoke to us in his Son, or in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through him whom also he made the worlds. Okay, so this is not another Muhammad or Buddha. It won't work. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, he hath by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hallelujah, somebody. That is just such a powerful verse. But notice what it says. It says he is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. What is God like? What is God thinking? What will God do for me? I mean, what is his will in my life? Well, you know, we got an example here, and it's not Job. Are you out there? We got an example here, and it's not Paul. Paul even said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Are you with me? He never was the goal, never was the example. He said, follow me only as I follow Christ. That's what he said. So when sickness comes, it's not a matter of looking to Job. It's not a matter of looking to Paul's thorn. You know, we often hear those kinds of things. It's amazing people don't know anything about the Bible. They've heard of Job and they've heard of Paul's thorn. I'm just amazed at that. Because really, Job has nothing to do with your healing. Not one thing at all. He was under a whole other covenant altogether. He never prayed and asked God to heal him. Not one time. Never asked God to heal him. And the Bible tells us to pray for healing. In fact, we're under a mandate to do that. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, knowing him with the old name of the Lord. To pray a face to say he's sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Well, they never prayed for that back then. They didn't do that. They didn't know to do that. That was before Moses. I mean, Job didn't know what we know. Are you with me? He said a lot of things that were wrong. I mean, he was a good man, and he was a righteous man in his own way. He never cursed God. He never gave up on God. But many times he thought God was behind things that he wasn't. And we know that from the book of Job. Are you with me? So you know, when you think about all that, Jesus never mentioned Job. He never mentioned Job. One with issue of blood came to Jesus, grabbed his garment, was healed. He turned around and said, whoa, hold on. Do you remember about Job? blind man on the side of the road said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus said, "Hold on, hold on. What about Job?" Never mentioned Job. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, never mentioned. It's only mentioned one time in the whole New Testament. In James, the fifth chapter, where he talks about patience and endurance. And he goes right on past talking about Job and says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church." That's funny. He just mentioned Job. Wouldn't he say, "Any sick among you? Remember Job." He never even mentioned Job. It had nothing to do with healing. Are you with me? See, Jesus is our healer. Are you out there? And if you want to know what God's like, you look to Jesus, because Jesus is the express image of God's person. In fact, we get this word, we get this word character, express image. The word express image comes from a Greek word called character. Everybody say character. Okay, you know what character is. I'm not talking about an uncle you have that's a character. I'm talking about character. Your character, my character, and so on and so forth. It was like an engraver's tool. They would use it in that sense, engraving or a stamped figure. And also, of course, has the connotation of copy, an exact copy. Exact copy character. You know, when you draw a character of someone, it's a copy. If you draw like we even use the word logo of a company, you know, that identifies the company. You see that logo and there, oh, you know what that company is. Golden Arches. McDonald's, you think of Starbucks has a character. Companies have characters that represent their companies. And we even have a little logo with a world on there and a light shining on it, and that's kind of what we're shining light to the world. You know, International Outreach Church, IOC, we have a little logo. That's interesting because Jesus is the logos. It means the logic or the reason or the complete thought of something, you know. So summed up in one thought, what could we logically, reasonably, in one thought, sum up God as? How would we do that? Jesus. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos." The complete thought, the fullness. Not a little piece here, a little piece there. Not a snippet of Jeremiah and a little tidbit of Isaiah and a crumb of Moses. But no. The whole truth summed up, one stamp, one character that shows us the whole picture, the express image, the logos, the character, Jesus. That's God. You see Jesus, you see God. Without all the trappings, without all the shadows, without all the types, without all the, the hidden meanings, you see him unwrapped, unhooked, unchained, unplugged. Jesus is God. Wow. And you walk with him in Matthew, and you walk with him in Mark, and you walk with him in Luke, and you walk with him in John, and you see him forgiving people, you see him healing people, you see him raising people from the dead, you see him giving to the poor, you see him stopping storms. Hello. Well, is God schizophrenic? Did we just see one side of him in Jesus, or do we get the whole picture in Jesus? According to the Scripture, he's the express image. He's the character. He's the logos. He's the stamp. You see him, you see God. Wow. So when we have this character, this stamp, that's they used that back then to define their work. I mean, that's what masons did. In fact, in ancient times, brick masons and engravers and other artisans used a symbol to mark the things they created. A symbol, just like you'd put a little sign up in a yard, this house being built by, or this complex is going to be so-and-so built by. You know, you stamp it, you tag it, you put your symbol on it. Well, they did that back then. The symbol that each one used was his character. That's where the word came from. And the value of the work was in proportion to the skill with which the object was made. And only if the quality of the work was high was the character esteemed. Think about it. In other words, the quality of the person and his work gave value to the credentials. If the work was good, so was the character. If it was bad, then the character was viewed as poor. So God gave us a stamp. He put a stamp on the earth. He put an approval on the earth. He put a character on the earth. He engraved it for eternity. He put his mark on the earth. And that mark and that stamp is Jesus. And it defines him. And it shows him more clearly than anything that has ever hit this earth. This stamp, this engraving, this character, this Jesus. There's been some confusion about God, always has been, always will be, I suppose, but Jesus takes all the confusion away and clearly shows us who he is. Wow. So Jesus is not just the way God is speaking, and Jesus is not just what God is speaking, but Jesus is God speaking. Oh, man, that's good stuff. That's just, oh, man, this Jesus, who is this Jesus? He's everything I know about God, for certain, for sure. He's everything I know about God. I think a lot of things, but I know in Jesus, everything about Jesus, I know that's God. That's what God will do. Yeah. Did he heal that woman who came up behind him and grabbed his garment? Yes, he did. Did he heal that man on the side of the road who cried out, blind Bartimaeus, saying, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me? Yes, he did. Did he heal that centurion servant when that centurion said, I'm not even worthy to come to my house, just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed? Yes, he did. Did he heal that leper that said, if you can heal me? Yes, he did. He healed him. Did he heal that man with that withered hand that was in the synagogue when he was teaching? He told him to stand up, told him to stretch his hand out. He healed him, didn't he? Did he heal him? Yes, he did. What about Jairus' daughter? Did he heal him? Yeah. What about that man let down through the roof, sick of the palsy? Did he heal him? Yeah. What about Peter's mother-in-law? Did he heal him? Yeah. Do you know of anybody he didn't heal? Can you think of someone he turned down? I can't think of anybody he turned down. Did he ever hesitate? Did he ever say, no, I can't heal you? Now, he many times would stop and say, what is it that you want? Or, do you believe I'm able to do this? But once they said, yes, Lord, I believe, that was all it took. And he healed them. So what would God do? I wonder sometimes, what would God do? Well, why would I wonder? I see what Jesus did. That's what God will do. Would he forgive me? I mean, no matter what I've done and, you know, no matter how the life I've lived and, you know, would he really wipe my sins away? Would he really let me start over again, brand new day? Would he? I don't know if anybody ever turned down the Bible. I don't know if anybody who said, no, you're just too wicked. You're too sinful. See, God's a forgiving God. I know that because I know Jesus. Are you out there? And Jesus trumps everything. He trumps all the Old Testament. Now, the whole Bible is the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But Jesus, what he said and what he does, trumps anything else said anywhere. Now, come on. You've got to be honest. You have to esteem Jesus' words a little higher, say, than Moses, than Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. You may say it's all the Word, but they were operating under Old Covenant, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Jesus comes along. He's not a prophet. He is God. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Are you following me now? And sometimes there is even some contradiction sometimes. I think it's all God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. Got no problem with that. But I know they were operating under the revelation they had under the Old Testament. They weren't born again. Jesus had not come yet. They were under the law. Thank God we're not under the law. Aren't you glad we're not under the law? Did you know you say, well, there's forgiveness under the law? Yeah, for some things. There wasn't forgiveness for adultery. There was no forgiveness for adultery. There was no peace offering. There was no sacrifice. There was no forgiveness for adultery. You were taken out and they stoned you. And I'm not talking about going to Colorado and getting marijuana. I'm talking about stones, rocks. Really, you go read your Bible. There was no forgiveness for it. There were several things in the Old Testament. There was no forgiveness for it. None. The law. Thank God we're not under the law. Thank God Jesus paid the price. But see, God's heart had always been that way. Are you out there? Did you know before the law, man killed his brother? Name was Cain. Killed Abel. Well, the law is very plain. You just take him out and kill him. You stone him. That's what the law says. Go read it. It's in the Bible. But the law hadn't come yet. And did you know God didn't kill Cain? God had mercy on Cain. That was God's heart. That had always been his heart. The law didn't show God's character and his heart. It showed his holiness and his standard, but it didn't show his heart. You didn't see God's heart until Jesus came along. And that's what the Pharisees are always upset about. They were so mad at Jesus because he'd come to church. Oh, my God, I need to heal somebody in church. Hung around publicans. Hung around sinners. He'd forgive these people. Bring this riffraff into church. Yeah, he'd make somebodies out of nobodies. He would. Just had a habit of doing that. He had a habit of seeing potential in everybody if they'd just come to him. He knew if they'd just come to him, he'd make a man out of them. He'd make a woman out of them. He'd make the best they could ever be out of themselves if they'd just get to him. But they didn't like that. Religion doesn't like that. They went after Jesus because he healed so many people. You go read the Bible. That's why they went after him. And when he raised Lazarus from the dead, that was it, baby. They took counsel, and they made plans to crucify him. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. He'd been healing these people in the synagogue and just making them so mad. Their worst day was the Sabbath. They hated Sabbath because Jesus would show up and heal somebody. They were upset about it. But that's God. I don't know why, but he loves you. He really cares about you. And people you think that are just worthless, he doesn't see them that way. And when you feel worthless, he does not see you that way. And when you feel hopeless and you don't think you can get out of that mess you're in, he's got a million ways of getting you out of that mess. Not only does he have a million ways, but he desires and wants to get you out of that mess. Hey, turn to John 1, two verses real quick. I'll let you out of here. If y'all respond pretty well. Amen. Boy, I get some amens then. Notice this in John 1, just two verses real quick I want you to look at. John 1, 17, notice what it says. It says, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. Did y'all see that? The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, you know, when you say but, you're negating what you just said before. I know, but. Isn't that right? So he said, oh yeah, the law came by Moses, but something different, something better. Let's turn this around. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So if you want grace, you're not going to find it under the law. And here's another one. Now, I don't want to shock you, and I don't want to sound sacrilegious here, because I'm not. I'm just reading the scripture. If you want the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about God, you're not going to find it in the law. You say, blasphemy. Well, you'd have to say that about the Bible because I'm just quoting the scripture here. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Wow. Are you out there? I know some of us like to bring the law back. I got people I'd like to line up and stone them. I really would. But we can't do that. We're under a new covenant. I got people I like to line up. I got a list of them, you know. No, I don't have a list. I got to forgive like everybody else. But I do think that way sometimes. I have to repent. Notice the difference here. Truth, the full truth. You want the whole truth, you're not going to get it in the Old Testament. You'll get bits and pieces, types and shadows, foreshadowings and proclamations and declarations. But until you get to Jesus, you hadn't got the truth. You hadn't got the truth about God. You don't have the whole truth. And that's why those Pharisees are so upset. You know, they're still looking at the finger. And all that Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. Okay, last scripture. John 5th chapter. John 5. This helping anybody? Who is this Jesus? He is the express image of God's person. He is the stamp. He is the character. He is the logo. He is God. The whole truth about God. Not one side of God. No, the whole truth about God. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. We read that last week, you know. Now notice this in John 5th chapter. Does this help anybody? Yes. It's good stuff. I know we've been on this for a few weeks, but I tell you, we need to know who this Jesus is. And we need to understand that he is the whole truth about God. That's right. Hallelujah. He's not just another prophet. He's not just another man. He's not just another good teacher. Christianity is not just another religion. This is the truth. Because of this right here, we know where Ray's sister is. Because of this right here, we know where Jerry's mama's going to go. Are you with me? We have that confidence. Notice what it says here in John 5, 39 and 40. Jesus speaking, written in red if you have one of those kind of Bibles. You can believe this. Jesus said it. Amen. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. Yeah, that's strong. Did you get that? That is so strong. I don't know. I think we read that and miss that. You could read the Bible all day long, every day, all the way through, and go to hell if you never get to Jesus. Because the Bible, I heard it said this way, and I thought it was so good. It was an old Irish minister that said this. George MacDonald was his name. And he said, the Bible is only the Word of God to the extent that it takes you to Jesus. If it never gets you to Jesus, it's not the Word of God to you. You say, well, that sounds kind of wild. No wilder than this. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but there they testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. If you're just reading the Bible and you're not getting to Jesus, you're not getting it. Isn't that right? Because the Bible's about Jesus. It's about a person. You know, when we get to heaven, he's going to say, I know you, or he's going to say, I don't know you. He's not going to say, I know about you. He's not going to say, you know about me. It's going to be about knowing him. And him, well, you know, the doctrine's all in him. Oh, we got pages of stuff written here, but it all comes down to him. What would Jesus do? Remember that campaign years ago? Great campaign. What would Jesus do? Well, whatever Jesus would do, that's what God would do, because Jesus is God. And I believe Jesus would help me. It's like that lady, a little country lady, you know, she's in need, and she's crying out to God, and not a theologian, wasn't really educated, but she says, Lord, all I know is, if I was up there and you was down here, I'd sure help you. Isn't that the truth? He's a whole lot better than we are. I'd sure help God out if he needed it, wouldn't you? I mean, how much more would he help us? My, my, my. Well, Jesus is the message. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the express image and the picture of God, and the best one you'll ever get. Hallelujah. They don't get any better than that right there. So if you're ever concerned about him or wonder about him, what would he do? Well, look at Jesus. That's what God would do. Amen.